You're listening to Stateside on Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham. Joining me now is Dr. Howard Markel. He's University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor. So this is the anniversary of the discovery of the tomb of King Tut, which was discovered in 1922 by archaeologist Howard Carter. I think the most famous artifact might be that funerary mask of Tutankhamun, which has been displayed in museums around the world. Of course, there were circumstances which gave to the rise of the idea of the mummy's curse from that opening a tomb would lead to death. How did that idea of a curse begin?
Well, in many of the tombs in the Valley of the Kings and Queens in Luxor, Egypt, there were inscribed on the walls, you know, "You who disturb this, do so at your own risk or at the risk of a curse." And there was some talk that that was written on the walls of King Tut's tomb, but that was not the case. But a lot of people talked about it. It's a great story. When Howard Carter discovered where the tomb was, it took another year to actually open it. He called his patron. You know, you had to have someone paying for all that.
Sure.
It was not a federal grant or something like that. And it was a man named George Herbert, who was the Earl of Carnarvon. And he funded this, and he said, "I'll be right down from England." Actually, his castle, Highclere Castle, is known to Downton Abbey lovers. It's
right.
The same house. Calling it a house is actually an understatement.
Residence. We'll call it residence.
And so he went down there, and he was shaving himself at the Savoy Continental Hotel in Cairo. He had had a mosquito bite. He cut it further. It got infected, and he died of blood poisoning. So that really fueled the fire, I should say, of a curse. Around the same time, the Earl's dog, Susie, who was up in England, howled her last and died. And, of course, Howard Carter's pet canary was eaten by a cobra. So all these curses were discussed, and every time somebody who was on the dig died, it was reignited.
Now, an Egyptologist, Herbert Winlock, tried to debunk the whole idea of a curse. It was a big article in the New York Times at the time. What was his arguments against the idea of this curse?
Well, Winlock was a very interesting man. He was head of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, and he was quite a prominent Egyptologist and knew Howard Carter personally. And he kept a list of all the people who were involved at the dig, at the opening of the tomb, and found that in a 12-year period, only six people died, and they all died of natural causes from diseases they had long before they actually started on the dig. So he said this is not the case at all. But for every fact that was put in its way, rumor pushed right back.
Even before the internet. Oh, wow.
Yeah, even before the internet, there were rumors. And my favorite was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who had by this time left Sherlock Holmes and was more into mysticism and the afterlife. And he said, "No, this is a curse. This is a curse put on anyone who opens the tomb by King Tut's priests."
By elementals. Yeah, I read that.
By elementals, yes.
Now let's talk about King Tutankhamun. He died young. There's been a lot of speculation about his poor health and subsequent death, even the gender of King Tut. What do we actually know?
Well, we actually know quite a bit. So there are all these, you know, there's always armchair pathologists or diagnosticians, and up until recently, you could get away with that because nobody could prove what your musings were or were not. People did think, for example, that mask that you mentioned looked somewhat feminine. Some other people claimed that he had gynecomastia, which is enlargement of the breasts. We also knew that there were dozens of walking sticks in the tomb and that King Tut did indeed have a broken thigh bone. And so a group of Egyptologists in Egypt in 2010, working with some German archaeologists and geneticists, they had unfettered access to these mummies. That's hard to get.
So not just King Tut, but his line.
No, about 16 others to try to show the familial line, to look at if there's any diseases of consanguinity, because pharaohs tended to marry within their own family, because there's only so many royal people who are blessed by the gods in Egypt at that time. And so they had quite a few mummies in a descendant's line, and they wanted to look at that. And they also wanted to see if there were any diseases, whether they were genetic or infectious, that were in these mummies. And they published their findings in the journal of the American Medical Association in 2010. And again, it showed the fascination we still have with King Tut. That made front page news all around the world. And that's many, many years after the discovery of King Tut's tomb. And what they found was who King Tut's parents were and the fact that his parents were actually siblings, which, again, very common. They also found that there probably was no foul play. Some people thought that King Tut was murdered. And if you read some of these accounts, it's like a bad Shakespeare play. There was a fracture to King Tut's skull that was initially thought to be, did somebody hit him in the back of the head? But they later discovered that it was probably part of the mummification process and had nothing to do with a trauma or foul play. But they did find there were some inherited disorders in the King Tut mummy, particularly one called Kohler's disease, which is funny because it has, as its result, a crumbling bone in the foot. And so that was interesting to these Egyptologists, because if the bone was crumbling, the feet bones were crumbling, maybe he would have stumbled, tripped, and then broken his thigh bone. Of course, he could have fallen in any number of other ways as well. And they also found, they looked for a lot of infectious diseases. They found only one. It was malaria. And this may be the oldest example of malaria in a human being in human history.
So he may have died from malaria?
He may have died from malaria. The hypothesis was that he had a fractured thigh bone that was not healing well, and his infectious disease did not help his immunity any, and his consanguinity, the fact that he had been the product of inbreeding, may have also damaged his immune system, and that constellation of problems well led to King Tut's tomb.
Well, let's go back to the beginning where we started, back to that curse. Howard Carter might have been considered the first and most important, we'll call him a violator of King Tut's tomb. How did he fare in life?
Well, that's fascinating because Carter was never a healthy man. He had Hodgkin's lymphoma as a young man and beat it a couple of times. And that's remarkable, particularly because in the 1920s we had no chemotherapy or any oncology drugs to speak of. But he lived a full ripe life into his 60s. And the New York Times, when they wrote his obituary, said he is the best example of why there is no curse. He had been digging there for almost 30 years and nothing untoward happened to him. He died most likely of a heart attack secondary to his Hodgkin's lymphoma, but he had had those problems for a long time. King Tut probably had nothing to do with it.
That's Howard Markel. He's University of Michigan medical historian and PBS NewsHour contributor. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.